And I pray that I'd speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Well, just like last week's Bible reading, the story of Nicodemus, the story of the woman at the well is familiar territory. It's a story that we're quite familiar with in Scripture. And as you'll see in the program notes, there are quite a lot of comparisons between the story of Nicodemus and between the story of the woman at the well, not least of which is they're both quite long Bible readings. But there's a lot of similarities and yet a lot of contrasts. One of the subtle similarities is that scholars would say that the conversation with Nicodemus follows a very standard form of Jewish dialogue and debate. And that's transferred, that structure is transferred to the woman at Samaria, which in itself is a fascinating insight into how John is thinking and positioning Jesus. Because as we look at Nicodemus and as we look at the woman of Samaria, there couldn't be a bigger contrast between them. Nicodemus, first of all, is a man. He even has a name. He's a Jew, he's a member of the Sanhedrin, which is either 23 or 70 people, according to whether it was Great Sanhedrin or not. Limited number of Pharisees. You know, he is a man of status. He would be known, he would be recognized. He has huge status. By comparison, the person that Jesus meets at the well, she doesn't have a name, she's a woman, she has no status, and she's certainly not a Jew. Huge difference in the status and in the position in, if you like, Jewish society. One's there, he's got it, and one's insignificant. Which is why I think it's so, you know, it makes me smile that this standard structure of a Jewish debate is applied to this woman. Because part of what Jesus says in those two stories is all about the love and the transformation that Christ can bring is open to all, those with status and those without, those who are part of the religious establishment and those who are not. The transformation is open to all. It's interesting to note as well that the story of Nicodemus and the story of the woman of Samaria is sandwiched in between Cana. Cana is, in chapter 2, is where Jesus has changed the water into wine. And John tells us that's the overarching sign, which is going to be the theme of Jesus' ministry and of the gospel. That transformation, that theme of water, that theme of taking everything that we are and that has brought us to where we are, exposing it to the touch of Christ and transforming it. He then goes on to meet Nicodemus as he goes up to Jerusalem. As he leaves Jerusalem, goes into the countryside around Judea, he ministers there and then goes back to Cana, and he goes through Samaria. So it's not surprising the sandwich between Cana, which we've been told is significant, we get these stories of transformation. And we get the stories of people being exposed to Jesus and that transformation happening. But again, if we look at Nicodemus, his life was well sorted. He was organized. He knew what was happening. He would be at the temple on time, he'd be at the synagogue on time, he'd wear the right clothes. He was just very, very ordered. He knew life, he was there. Structure. He's almost the kind of person you'd expect to appear in Matthew's gospel, because Matthew's the man of structure. But that's what we see in Nicodemus. And what Jesus brings into Nicodemus's life is a bit of chaos. It's a bit of disturbance, a bit of life isn't just about following religious practices. It's not just about adherence to the letter of the law. It's not just about religious debate. Jesus takes his organized life and introduces into it a bit of chaos, a bit of disturbance, so that God can work in Nicodemus' life. And we don't hear much about whether Nicodemus, whether he responded after the nighttime conversation with Jesus, but we do see him defending Jesus in debates with the Pharisees later on in the Gospel, and we see him requesting the body of Jesus. So we have to infer that the chaos and the disturbance that Jesus brought into his life made a difference. When we look at the woman of Samaria, what we might generously call her family life, at the very least, appears extremely chaotic. Her life is all over the place. She is an outcast by the very fact she's out in the middle of the day by the well. Her life is utterly chaotic. And what Jesus brings to that life of chaos is the order of his Spirit and the new life through the living water that he promises the woman. With one person, he brings a bit of disturbance into order and a bit of chaos. And with another, he brings order into that chaos and disturbance. And as we look at our lives in Lent, perhaps as we reflect, there are areas of our lives where Jesus wants to disturb us. He wants to bring a bit of chaos into our ordered and regulated lives, so that he's just got a little bit more freedom to work with us and to work with us in doing the things that he wants to do with us and through us, so that we can be more effective in working with him and bringing about that transformation which Jesus talks about. There may also be parts of our lives, as we reflect, where Jesus wants to bring a bit more order and a bit more structure, so that similarly we can be a bit more ordered and structured in our service to him, so that rather than being disorganized in our spiritual lives, in our physical lives, Jesus brings order through that living water, that we too can be more useful to him as his servants in bringing that transformation. So as we look at Lent and as we reflect, for all of us, there's a bit of Nicodemus, there's a bit of the woman, there's a bit of our lives which probably could do with a bit more disturbance and a bit more prompting to be less structured, so, and a bit more open. And there's a bit of our lives which probably does need a bit more discipline, a bit more structure, so that God can work more fully in us. Order and chaos, chaos and order. But as we look at the woman as well, we know that she was an outcast. We know that, you know, her life was in disorder. She was out in the middle of the day. There are some people who'd say that she was probably a prostitute, and if nothing else, had turned to prostitution to make ends meet. Perhaps even going to Jesus, a single man by himself, trying to proposition him. But actually, John tells us in his gospel that the woman had had 5 husbands. Now, in a culture where even if the woman was the innocent party, she couldn't start divorce proceedings, that gives us a clue that actually it's not all down to the woman. Yes, some of it may well have been down to her, but actually she had been abandoned by several men. She'd been used by several men. Yes, maybe she was part of it, but actually not all of what was happening to her, John would seem to infer, was her fault. She had been abandoned. She had been used, which had led her to be what she was. She's also quite a feisty individual, because she answers Jesus back every time. It's a bit like people today, young people today, you know, whatever you say, their answer is, whatever. And there's a sense in which you can see that with the woman. You know, she's been let down. She's been abandoned. You know, she's got an attitude. She answers Jesus back, whatever. Yeah, whatever. Jesus listens to her story. He doesn't abandon her. He doesn't abuse her. He doesn't use her. He listens to her story, even though he knows her story better than she knows it herself. And as we reflect on our lives in Lent, there are sometimes bits of our lives where we just feel completely let down, completely abandoned, completely hopeless. Areas of our lives where they seem to control us, not we control them. Jesus reaches out to the woman, and in all her hopelessness, in all her abandonment, he brings hope. He brings new life through that living water. Jesus and the woman, Nicodemus and the woman meet Jesus in different and dark contexts. For Nicodemus, perhaps the darkness of the night that he meets Jesus represents the darkness of his mind, which needs to be enlightened, needs to be broadened, and need to be freed in order that he can be born again, or as John calls it, born from above. For the woman, perhaps the darkness of her life indicates that she needs to meet the light of Christ so that her life can be transformed and her body can be transformed. Because Jesus meets with Nicodemus and the woman and transforms the mind and the body. As we reflect on Lent, as we reflect on our lives in Lent, perhaps there's a sense in which Jesus does want to bring a bit of disturbance and a bit of chaos into our well-ordered lives. Perhaps there's a sense in which he wants to bring a bit of order into those lives in which, into those parts of our lives which are perhaps in a bit more chaos and disorder. Perhaps as we reflect in Lent, there are areas of our lives which we feel are a bit dark, a bit hopeless, a bit abandoned, a bit where we don't feel in control. And Jesus too brings living water and fresh hope into those areas of our lives. And as we reflect on our spiritual lives in Lent, perhaps for some of us, all that we need to do is just be open, as the woman was, to drink of that living water, that Christ can bring new life and fresh hope into lives and parts of our lives which perhaps just feel a bit dry and parched, as he brings about even more of that transformation in our lives that he promises to Nicodemus, the woman at the well, and as we see by speaking to them, to everyone who opens their hearts to him and requests and asks and receives the invitation of Christ to be born again, and to drink again of the living water. Amen.
Amen.